Ultrasound, and welcome to My Teenage Diary, the show where we invite brave adults to dust off their tear-stained teenage ramblings and read out their old diaries in public for the very first time. Can they recognise themselves when they look back? Have they remained true to their youthful ideals? Will they experience the warm glow of nostalgia or the hot flush of embarrassment? My guest tonight is a comedian, author, and star of Radio 4's fabulous The Horn Section. That's what he's like now, but we're about to find out what he was like way back then. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Alex Horn.
Thank you very much.
We are just delighted to have you here.
You sound more delighted than I am to be here. I'm pleased to be invited, but I'm also dreading this.
Which diaries are you going to read from today?
It's a diary I wrote in the last millennium, so it's about 1,000 years ago, and it's I was 18, and I was an idiot. It's the diary of an idiot. I'd never looked at it since before I was forced to for this. So I was so disappointed by what I was like.
Right. So you were on your gap year, is that right?
Yeah, I'd applied to go to university and I didn't get in first time round, and I applied to Oxford and didn't get in, and so I got a job instead in a supermarket in Budgeons. I was deputy head of dairy. There was two of us in the department. So I was struggling with that. And then I reapplied. I applied to Cambridge and got in because it's inferior. And and then after that, I was saving money to go on a trip.
Right.
And that's what the diary is about. It's about the trip.
And where was the trip to?
The trip was to China. And I was going to teach English. I had 3 days of training to be a teacher.
That's all it takes, though, yeah. Isn't it, really?
Well, I had 3 days of training to be a teacher and then 3 days of training to operate a camera. They were going to get me to film my trip as a sort of promotional tool for this company who provide gap years for idiots like myself at the time.
You have your diary with you today. Would you describe it for the listener?
Well, I'm embarrassed about it. I'm embarrassed about everything today. But the diary itself is sort of... I'm just holding it up now. It's largely red. I chose this myself. There's a badly hand-drawn picture of two pigs on it.
Yes.
I don't know why I would have chosen... I mean, I don't recognise it. I don't remember. I think it might not be mine. And I'm burning it immediately after this, just so you know, I really am.
What, really?
Yeah, and I'm going to sabotage the tape so it doesn't go out.
Well, it's 1997. Princess Diana dies in a car accident in Paris. UK scientists announce they've cloned a sheep called Dolly. And Labour ends 18 years of Tory rule, winning the election with the slogan, "Things can only get better," which they did for the multi-millionaire Tony Blair. But what's Alex Horn doing?
Friday, the 21st of February, 1997. Deng Xiaoping is dead. I've been in China for 5 days and already so much has happened. I really don't know where to start this diary, but I'll try the beginning and we'll have to see where I end up. Mum and Dad took me to the airport on Monday the 16th and actually let me go. Upsetting for Mum, especially after I impatiently insulted her. Sorry, Mum, but I had to go. Our group had so many people with so many characters that neither my diary nor the 3 days in Beijing could ever do it justice. I will now do the Christine thing. It's got to be done now because I really can't stop thinking about her. I have to admit that at first I didn't pay her much attention. In fact, it wasn't really till the second day that we actually spoke at all. Anyway, on Tuesday, in the Temple of Heaven, of all places, Christine asked for a word. And then she said she wanted to know where she stood because she didn't want to look like a dickhead. Wise woman. From then on, we were rarely apart and we got on and off brilliantly. I can't applaud that. In fact, that moment sparked off our romance in a big way. I mean, we were really pretty close by the time it was time to leave. I really miss her now and hope to God she's okay.
So, as a 17-year-old, were you a bit of a hit with the ladies?
No, I wasn't. I had very little experience with them. I've got two brothers and a dad and a mum and a male dog and two male cats. I had a real male upbringing and I went to a male boarding school. So I was useless. I couldn't really talk to... I couldn't even say the word women. I can't, even now. I don't trust them. I'd spent, for our training to be a teacher, I'd got to know Christine at this teacher training camp for 3 days. So we had a previous history.
Yes.
I did know her before.
It wasn't like you stepped right off the plane and just went, "Come here, baby."
I don't think I've ever said the word baby unless it was about a baby.
Well, let's find out some of your first impressions of China. And hope it's not all just girls, girls, girls.
Beijing. Memorable and utterly different. We visited the Great Wall, the Temple of Heaven, the Summer Palace and the Forbidden City. All very impressive. But unfortunately, my mind was elsewhere. Actually, what else is great? Great Wall, this is a list now. Great Wall of China, Great Barrier Reef, Great Britain, Great Train Robbery, Great King Alexander the Great... Great Dash Frosties. Okay, that'll do. Thursday morning saw us wake early to an excited Dan raving about Deng Xiaoping's death. As it happens, the country has carried on as normal, minus a few festivals. Not the complete mourning some predicted. We then rushed to the airport after dodging minibar Bill. I bade an all too hasty goodbye to Christine and flew almost immediately to somewhere else completely. Met by Mr. Zhang, it's not Hemingway, is it? Met by Mr. Zhang and Stephen, a student, we were driven sleepily to Chenzhou. Chenzhou was slightly disappointing in terms of its photogenic expectation, but more so was the death of our camera. Having been welcomed by several enthusiastic students, we were left to discover the treasures of our flat and decided to film the momentous occasion. But no, the camera was having none of it. I was fed up. That and tiredness and a bad first impression of the flat left me utterly empty. I sat with Phil, Sam and two girls, pathetically picking at food, missing Christine like hell and wishing I was somewhere else. Now I'm a lot happier. Phil and I are trying to get fit. And we've seen the school. The weather is hot and sunny, especially remembering it's Feb, and sport opportunities seem endless. Shops are accessible, full and friendly, and the flat is comfortable, well-equipped and spacious. We start teaching on Monday. Gut reactions right now. I miss Christine. I like Chenzo. I'm apprehensive about teaching, but reasonably confident about the next 4 or 5 months with Phil.
So you've left Beijing and you're in Chenzhou.
Yeah, Chenzhou, isn't it? It's opposite Taiwan on the coast. It's not on the tourist trail.
You sound quite happy as well with the fact that the weather's hot and sunny and the shops are full.
The shops are full, yeah.
Yeah.
What shops aren't full?
Woolworths. Had you imagined what it was you were going to be met with when you got there?
I don't think so. I don't think I'd planned it at all. No, I'd done literally no research about the town. There's very little you can research. This was pre-internet, really. So I think I just presumed it was going to be like Midhurst, where I'm from in West Sussex. I didn't and think it through.
I've been to Midhurst in West Sussex. It doesn't get particularly hot in February, but apart from that, identical.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, we will continue.
Sunday the 23rd of February. Phil and I are continually putting off preparing our lessons. I've got to teach class one at 7:40 tomorrow morning, and I've just decided to concentrate on descriptions. I really think I'd better get down to that now, actually. Well, maybe after a bit of a lie down. Some thoughts. Number one, the Chinese don't all wear glasses. Hardly any here in Chenzhou, in fact. Number two, might try jogging sometime. Number three, the Chinese are very active. Whether it's Tai Chi, sprinting, football, basketball, or just stretching and jogging, they all do something and they're all fit. Apart from the Buddhas, I've never seen a fat Chinaman. They eat a lot, though. Constantly. Number four, I must put some sun cream on. Monday the 24th of February. Just done first lesson. Crikey, it was difficult. I really came unstuck and ended up learning Chinese instead. Still, I have learnt something and will now try to prepare the next one.
So you've been sent there to teach English, but by the end of the first lesson, you're learning Chinese.
Very much so, yeah.
That is literally the exact opposite of what you are there to do.
Yeah, I was a good student and they were good teachers. So. I mean, I really feel bad that my teaching skills were so poor.
I mean, not all of the lessons were bad.
Okay. Tuesday the 25th of February. The second lesson went swimmingly. Well, most of it. A couple of spine-tingling moments when they spontaneously applauded me for trying to speak their language. Also managed to sing Yesterday with the class. Anyway, I got on very well with the students and later received 14 eggs as a present. In brackets, I'd managed to slip in that we were short of eggs. In Chinese, apparently.
Was the principle that you were basically teaching more advanced English to kids who could already speak English?
No, that would make sense. No, it was the size of the classes were about 40, and there were a lot of disinterested people. It tends to be there were 15 who paid attention, and those 15 would come round to our flat and get extra tuition. But there was enough of them who didn't care
right.
to make it impossible. And the classes were 2 hours long. It was hopeless.
Please continue.
Okay, this is pretty exciting now. Wednesday, the 26th of February. My left ear has grown immeasurably. In brackets, I thought, I have no ruler.
Can't you be strung up for that in China?
It has swollen up and turned purple. It no longer resembles my right ear. What the heck is going on? Excuse me, why is my ear so big? I look like a mutant and feel like one too. Quite funny to an extent, but if it doesn't go down soon, I'll cut it off. Hear that, Buster? I'll cut you off. I mean,
I mean, you're wasting your time talking to that ear. All swollen up like that, it can't hear you.
Yeah.
The irony is that the other ear can hear you, but it's not big enough to pass around a message, so...
My dad is a GP, and I do remember that moment. I faxed him and said, my ear is swollen up, what should I do? And as usual, he says, oh, don't worry about it. Sunday the 9th of March, my ear is back to normal. So that's the end of that episode.
Your dad was right.
Yeah. We've got a routine going now. Teaching, eating, sleeping and sport. Met some Western girls in Pizza Hut. I didn't go to Pizza Hut every day, but I did get... Yeah, there was a Pizza Hut. Not a patch on Christine, though. Thinking of her, have sent her a letter, but still no reply. Friday the 14th. I got a letter from C yesterday. Hooray, it was really good to hear from her, even if my opinion of the Chinese postal system has sped downhill. Anyway, she seems okay and her life is reasonably comfortable. I hope to God she's got my fax now. She was upset 10 days ago that I hadn't written. If the fax gets lost, I think she'll give up on me.
Now, Alex, it's one thing to doubt the Chinese mail service, but why would you think she wouldn't get a fax? It's not going to go just wandering off on its own, is it? I'm just surprised that you, a man of learning, a man in education, would doubt that. Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. All my love, Alex. So, how was Pizza Hut?
That letter, that noise, that haunts me. We spent hours in the school offices trying to get these faxes through, and very few of them made it. Pizza Hut was a disappointment. The pizzas weren't proper pizzas. They weren't the right cheese. Saturday, the 15th of March. At last, I wake. VHO.
What does VHO stand for? Virtuously Helping Orientals.
It means very hungover. And I use that acronym a lot because it saved me a lot of time. I was often VHO. Got very drunk last night. Drinking from 3 till 3 is not good for sobriety. And dear, oh dear, managed to pull a Chinese girl. A real, genuine Chinese girl. How? Why? Who? What heck do, I've put. Her name is May. V, good at English, quite attractive. V, interesting and amusing. She knows about Christine, she understands, she's very cool. Oh dear, I'm really VHO and I'll see her tonight. Tuesday the 18th of March. Spoke to Christine twice yesterday, making me feel a little guilty about what happened with May, but cheering me up too. I think I'll see her soon. I'm in a bit of a quandary right now, woman-wise. I'll give you the facts. Another list. Number one, Christine says she loves me and wants to know how I feel. Number two, Danielle is waiting for me back home. Number three, May is waiting for me to phone and write as well as come and see her soon. Number four, Sally Jones is stalking me. I think I'm going to be brave. I'll phone May on Thursday and tell her I can't be more than friends. She's a sensible girl, so she should hate me. With a bit of luck. Danielle knows I'll mess around, and she probably will too. Sally, I could probably avoid seeing. Christine is definitely the one. But whether I can tell her what she wants to hear is another thing. What heck do? Have a shower. Yeah. Monday the 24th of March. Stupid, insensitive fool. Yes, you, Al, you piece of crap. I've just called May and tried to dump her, but she was engaged, and then in brackets, unfortunately not to a man. She's apparently gone mental. She sent me a telegram. just Alex on the address, with the words, "Miss you terribly," printed in the middle. What have I done? I've created a monster. I've worked out a reasonably sound speech to tell her, but over the phone, what a creep. I don't know how she's going to react, especially when I've told her that she could stay this weekend. In brackets, what was I thinking? The trouble is that I don't feel anything about May now. She is not a beauty, and I was very drunk. Well, I don't know what you're which bit of that you're applauding, but I appreciate the support. I mean,
I think they're applauding the crippling shame you clearly feel. Let's just clarify where we're at. Okay. You want to dump May, but you seem to have invited her to stay for the weekend. Mm. You like Christine, but can only communicate by fax. And you seem to have a couple of love interests at home.
Yeah.
This is sort of like a French bedroom comedy, but Chinese. Mm. A Ming farce.
I'm applauding too. Thank you.
This May woman means business, doesn't she? You and Christina are faffing about with letters and faxes. May cuts straight to the chase with a telegram. I mean, who in their right mind sends a tele... Alex, why aren't you replying to my telegrams? Should I fax you instead?
Receiving a telegram was underrated. It was extraordinary. I think that kept me going with May.
Normally you have to get married to get a telegram.
Yeah, and that was got on the card for a while. She was... I'm weak and shallow. There's lots of adjectives. I couldn't say no, and then I couldn't say stop. I couldn't say anything, really. I just sort of said, okay.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
I mean, you're weak, you're shallow, but the thing is, you're an 18-year-old boy. Mm. So fundamentally,
boy is the word.
You're not really using the big brain, you're using the little brain.
By which you mean... Yeah, okay. Wednesday the 21st of May. Okay, before inventing the most famous of all mints, Marco Polo wrote... I'm still pleased with that. He wrote, "Grand and beautiful, Cenzo is one of the greatest ports of the world." Nowadays, you have to look very hard to find Cenzo in a travel book. And if you do succeed, it will probably contain the words drab, dull, and don't go there. Cenzo does not do itself justice. Streets lined with blossoming trees overflow with litter, while honking motorbikes swarm around the temples. However, it is those environmentally unconscious litterers that give Cenzo its real beauty. If you ever come to Cenzo, look deep into the town. I don't know who I'm writing this to myself. Look deep into the town and you'll see the colour, the oddities, the happiness, and above all, the beauty. Dreams are never fulfilled and lives are limited, but show me a country where this is not the case. Here no one moans about what they haven't got, but they make the best of what they do have. I'm very proud to live in a place like Cenzo. My life here is very different from in England, but I love it. And just in case you're wondering, since I've arrived, I've eaten pig's lung, intestine and face, chicken's feet, turtle's blood, frog's legs, raw crayfish, giant woodlouse, fish eyes, whole dove, squid, snails and strawberries.
Strawberries. I mean, this is more of the sort of travelogue we're all hoping for, isn't it? It's quite moving. You seem to have fallen for the city.
It was a strange passage. Yeah, I had a brief moment of clarity. I wish it was more that sentiment.
Right, so what happens next?
Okay, Wednesday the 21st of May. We got given bikes today. We've christened them Bert and Ernie. So that'll add another degree of independence. And I got a letter from Mum and a note from Dad. Mum writes me these really long letters full of detail and feeling. I've never read anything like this from her before, and it's amazing. She just seems like a really close friend, not like a mum at all. It's brilliant, and I've kind of seen a side of her that I hadn't really appreciated before. I guess it's the fault of us four blokes that means she hasn't been able to express herself all this time. She's sending the Blues Brothers video over. Yippee! Saturday the 24th. Alcohol abuse and theft on a grand scale have been the main themes of the last 2 days. I don't know why we keep stealing things, but when we're pissed, it seems like fun. Here's a brief list of what we've got. A broom, 3 stools, 5 glasses, forks, knives, spoons, ashtray, chopsticks and holders, loo roll dispenser, a lock from a door, brake fluid and an oil tank, bowls, plates, toilet flusher and 2 toilet seats. Those seats were taken yesterday and were transported in my trousers. Hell, we were drunk yesterday.
Now, at the beginning of this week, you wrote, "Here, no one moans about what they haven't got." Which is just as well, really, because most of it's hidden down your trousers. There's real light and shade here. These are, you know, 2 days literally next to each other. Some lovely stuff about your mum, and then on the other, shameful tales of drunkenness and debauchery.
Mm. When I read that back, I was quite moved. I was, because now I'm appalling speaking to my parents, because I'm there's part of me that haven't grown up and I'm still impatient and want to go and play football. So it did make me think I should listen to her and pay more attention.
Yeah. So what happened next?
This is the nadir. Tuesday the 3rd of June. I arrived in Qingdao at 9 a.m. last Monday, and Christine, Claudine and Dawn met me at the airport. A bit strange not being on my own with Christine, but quite cool. In the evening, we landed in bed at about 11, and at last we could talk. C told me she'd got off with some other bloke from Oxford recently, but she was V-drunk and she tried not to continue it. Of course I was pissed off, but hey, she was drunk, so I still managed to sleep. Well, the next day Christine had to teach, so I was alone in their place. I mooched around the flat, being nosy, but innocent. Then I looked at C's teaching book. I'd read it before, so I knew it wasn't private. Unfortunately, I came across a private extract. It was called Me, Men and Misery. I was hooked. All the interesting stuff. I found my head spinning and my hands shaking. Here's a brief summary. Men, we're all crap, sort of. Eventually, she got onto me, and she definitely doesn't love me. But she's looking forward to seeing me. I'm a great guy, but too bloody soft. Then Will, the guy from Oxford, well, this made me feel pretty angry. She went for him. He excited her, and she pulled him. He then rejected her, and she asked him again, the exact opposite of what she told me. She'd lied in a big way, and it hurt. Well, I got on the wrong bus and wandered around, sort of looking for Christine, but mostly working out what I could do with her. I knew it was over and would try to end it tactfully. I was still fond of her tonight. Unfortunately, things messed up. That afternoon, she got a letter from her mum with some really bad news asking that she could come home. Me and Claudine sat there while Christine cried and we all felt bad and out of place. Here I was hating the girl but realising how messed up her life had been. Well, the days passed quietly after that until Friday. We met the other gappers. We went off to a club that night and were preparing for a big one. We bought some beers and I started getting drunk. Hurrah! Well, I got drunk. And all I know is that at the club I was suddenly angry with C, remembering all the stuff. I went into the toilet and started smashing things up. And eventually I was chucked into the street by the police after a big argument. God knows how I got back to the hotel, but I somehow managed it. Eventually C came to my room to explain. I cried as she told me that's just how she was. We ended up agreeing to stay together for 2 more days, then split forever. Friends, of course, but that's it. To cut a long story shorter, the next day things were awkward, but the beer helped. We watched Sister Act 2 to relax. So Sunday morning, I made my way alone to the airport, thinking, how do I feel? Well, pretty happy. I was free. I'll travel around the world with no inhibitions and no ties. More to the point, I'd seen a different Christine that week, and I didn't like it.
This is pretty big stuff, really, isn't it?
Yes and no, and the second one of them. At the time, incredibly important stuff. That was the only thing that was in my head. But I soon flew off from China to Australia, and it was good. I was sort of carried on being obsessed with her for a few weeks and gradually was back to sort of normal life. And I haven't seen Christine since.
In these worlds of Facebooks and Twitters and so forth?
I haven't been. To be honest, wasn't... It was all over. It was a brief moment, which I thought was left in the past and hadn't even thought about it since.
You'd been at all boys' schools right up until this point.
There were girls in the sixth form, but I did not... I didn't have a girlfriend.
Right.
I had one girlfriend. So I'm doing myself a disjustice. A misjustice. I'm doing myself an injustice. I'm doing myself a disservice. I mean, I'm going to find the rest of this day difficult. I can blame a lot of this on an all-male environment, and also just being bad. I'd go back and do some of the things the same, but nearly everything else differently.
Now, we're reaching the end of your stay in China.
True. Wednesday, the 11th of June. Good evening. Why would you put good evening? Good evening. I'm looking forward to my last lesson ever. It's tonight. We'll just be doing music and we're going to take the Blues Brothers in brackets, which we watched again last night. So the lesson will be pretty relaxed. We've been promised a good time afterwards, courtesy of Mr. Yang. So Thursday could well be brought to you by the letters VH and the number O. Last lesson at the college this morning, sort of sad, sort of bloody happy. They gave me a card, so that was nice. Thursday the 12th, we're relaxing. We're no longer teachers. Never again. The last lesson went really well. They seemed to love the Blues Brothers, laughed at all the right places. Yeah, we've spread the word to China. Pretty cool, if you ask me. Tuesday the 17th, but it's all over now. I've left Chenzhou exactly 4 months after we arrived in China. Here I am, sitting in a very stationary bus somewhere. It's 4:24 p.m, and I've got something in my eye.
Did you actually have something
in your eye?
I don't
know. I like to think it was a tear, but yeah. I think it was probably just another ailment. I think it probably was a tear. I think it was, it was the end of a chapter. I think I was aware then it was the end of a chapter.
Do you still love the Blues Brothers?
Oh, yeah, I'm proud of that. I had good taste in it. It's the best film. If you've not seen the Blues Brothers, it is the best film. I hope that those people in Chenzhou have a Blues Brothers festival now. You know, I've left that behind. They all strut around in suits.
Now that you've read your diaries, what would you say to the younger you?
I mean, can you make this happen? I think I would say stop, do less drinking, stealing and worrying. And just so bear in mind, you might have to read this stuff out on Radio 4 in 18 years.
And what would the younger you say back?
I think you would congratulate me on my beard. Because I think I would be pleased with this.
Oh, you should
That's
be.
My main achievement since then. I'd probably want to meet my wife.
Boobies. We ask our guests to choose a song which sums up their teenage years. Mm. What have you chosen?
I've chosen a song from the Blues Brothers film. It's called Everybody Needs Somebody to Love. And it's not really because of my obsession with girls at the time. It's more, I think I'd like to say this is for my mum, who I was mainly grateful at the airport that she did send me off, and I sort of now know how difficult that would have been. So this is for her.
Well, as we play out with the strains of the Blues Brothers, ladies and gentlemen, Alex Horn.
My Teenage Diary is a talkback production for BBC Radio 4. It was presented by me, Rufus Hound, and starred guest Alex Horn. Additional material was by Jed Parsons, and the producer was Harriet Jane. Sugar to kiss.